Hello, this is my Holy Week Diary for March the 29th, 2018. Today is Maundy Thursday. I'm recording this diary just about an hour and a half, 2 hours, ahead of our Maundy Thursday liturgy here at Trinity Church. We will begin the holiest time in the church year. These 60 plus hours between the beginning of the Maundy Thursday liturgy and the conclusion of the Great Vigil of Easter on Saturday night, these 60 plus hours represent one continuous liturgy. Even though we'll be in and out of church from the opening acclamation of tonight's liturgy, there will be no dismissal of the congregation until the end of the Easter Vigil on Saturday night. This is holy time. And it's an interesting time to observe, given the realities of our lives. We will likely drop into and out of church while the rest of the world spins around us and we get caught up in some of the spin as well. But these holy moments offer us a time to recollect ourselves, to remember, and to be remembered, put back together again as the people of God. So I thought for this diary entry, I would share the brief homily, which is probably more of a devotional reflection that I'll be offering at the liturgy this evening. And because of the nature of the homily, it's based around the various texts for the evening, but I won't read those in this entry. They will become obvious as the homily unfolds. I bid you a holy 3 days. Hang on for the ride. During a Sunday sermon earlier in this Lenten season, I made mention of the Stations of the Cross, which adorn our worship space. I invited the folks who were here that morning to spend some time with the stations and perhaps choose one of them as a companion for the Lenten journey. I don't know if anyone took me up on the suggestion, but I decided to accept my own invitation. Quite unexpectedly, the station which captured my attention was the 10th station. Jesus is stripped of his garments. Religious artwork has sought through the centuries to protect some semblance of dignity for Jesus. The reality for those condemned to crucifixion, however, was the humiliation involved in being exposed to all the shame associated with public nakedness. Unclothed and vulnerable, the convicted man would endure the taunts, jeers, and prurient stares of the crowds public executions inevitably drew. As I've contemplated the 10th station throughout Lent, I've become increasingly aware of all the ways I attempt to keep the less attractive aspects of my personality covered, the ways I hide from myself under the flimsy garments of rationalization, the ways I cover my faults and failures from others with layers of self-justification, the ways I attempt to conceal my inherent tendency towards sin from God with the thin shawl of piety overlaid with an overcoat of religious observance. Lent has been doing its work on me, and I suspect it's been doing some work on each one of you as well. And our Lenten journey brings us here to this moment. We gather here tonight on the mandate, the commandment Jesus gave to his disciples on the night before the horrors of Good Friday unfolded. The one who would be stripped bare in a few hours got up from the dinner table, wrapped himself in a towel, and knelt before his disciples and washed their feet. In a shocking display of humility, he took the role of a servant. He washed the feet of Judas the betrayer. He washed the feet of Peter the denier. He washed the feet of every disciple who would desert him in the ensuing hours. He told them, "If I, your Lord and Master, wash your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet." In other words, love each other enough to serve one another and love each other enough to be served by one another. This is the way the world will know you belong to me. We strip our feet in each other's presence as a witness to the sort of community we long to be, a community in which all serve and all are served. This was the same night, according to the Apostle Paul, quoting the tradition he had received, that Jesus took bread, broke it, and said, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." He took a cup of wine and said, "This is my blood of the new covenant. Do this in remembrance of me." In other words, in eating this meal, you will come to know what it means to be in communion with me and with one another. We share a stripped down meal as a faithful witness that a bite of bread and a sip of wine can fill us in ways which surpass our flimsy understanding. Tonight, the church begins the intense liturgical journey that is the 3 days, the Triduum. The church invites us to step out of time and step into the mystery of God's love for humankind, which stretches from before time and into eternity. We will wash each other's feet. We will share the holy food and drink of Christ's body and blood. We will recall through words and actions the suffering of Jesus. We do all of this in the shadow of the cross and in the hope of an empty tomb. For many Episcopalians, the end of the Maundy Thursday liturgy provokes some of the most intense emotions of the entire church year. Following the procession of the reserved sacrament to the chapel for the all-night prayer vigil, the entire altar area will be stripped bare. As we listen to the haunting words of Psalm 22, we will watch this holy space be emptied of its contents, reminding us of Jesus emptying himself for all of us. The barrenness of the stripped altar will stand as a witness against all our attempts to cover ourselves with self-righteousness or presumed worthiness. Jesus is stripped bare so we can be clothed in the garment of grace. Perhaps the only proper response to facing such a realization is a stunned silence. Dear God, let it be so. Let us pray. Almighty Father, whose dear Son on the night before he suffered instituted the sacrament of his body and blood, mercifully grant that we may receive it thankfully in remembrance of Jesus Christ our Lord, who in these holy mysteries gives us a pledge of eternal life, and who now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.